When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
I want to win the games until he dies of play.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him!
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the game until it dies of play.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
All right, this is episode 45 of Games and More Entertainment Radio. I'm C4.
I'm Cobalt.
Damn it, I knew you guys would say that shit at the same time. We got Kobar here and Ode on the phone, who we haven't heard from in a long time. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I have been meaning to record with you guys for a while, but just you always record at the times when I need to do other things.
All right, pick up the volume a little bit more. There we go, that's what I'm talking about. Now, we've got a lot of E3 stuff to talk about, because you actually got to go down there.
That was amazing. I had a great time.
You lucky bastard.
I know.
Booth babes everywhere. Like, okay, just to give you an idea. I showed up for day one. All right, day one of E3. I showed up 8 o'clock in the morning. The place doesn't open until 10. Like, 8, you can get your badge. But I figured I might as well get my badge early. I was looking for parking. That's why I wanted to get there early. So I went early to get parking. And I get in line, because there's a line out the door. For some reason, I said, oh, there's a line. Must not be too long. Well, I didn't realize it was still almost 2 hours before the show was going to open. And so I get in line, and the next thing you know, the line is around the building.
Holy crap.
Yeah, there are that many people trying to get in there.
Well, I bet. I mean, this is a huge thing. I mean, every single person I know, well, okay, all the real people that I know wanted to go, you know.
Oh, yeah, it got just a place where you pick up your badge. It was good I got my badge early, because I guess the line later on was 3 hours long to get your badge.
Oh, my God. Damn.
So if you do go, it's probably a good idea to get your badge early. This badge thing was something they only did this time. They used to mail the badges out. This time they were only giving the badges at the door, which is why it was such a problem.
Huh.
But
now, let's start from the beginning, though. How did, because this is what everybody wants to know. How do you go? How do you get in?
Oh, it's easy. You have to prove you're a member of the industry, which is not that hard. A lot of people are throwing up gaming websites weeks before the registration. You make sure you register at least a month in advance, and you should be able to get it for free.
For free? Now, but I mean, was there, like, damn, I could have sworn, like, you'd think that I would have known that or would have heard that somewhere before. Did you just go to, like, the E3 Expo, which makes no sense to me, e3expo.com, and just register there?
Yes. They'll ask you to submit a bunch of information. They want a picture of a business license. You can send a picture of any business license. The guy who was standing live with me sent a picture of a paintball store's business license that was his parents.
That's something I'm going to have to look into, then, is going ahead and getting a business license.
He even forged a business license and send it in. I don't think it would really matter. They don't check on it. They just go through a few steps to make sure somebody even shows the initiative of being legit. They don't check anything, and then they just send you a badge. And he got a media badge, so he got the best badge.
See, that's what I think I would try to aim for.
Yes.
Hell yeah, I'm a member of the press.
That's three badges.
Exactly. Technically, exactly. I wouldn't be stretching it too far as to some of these guys, you know?
Oh, you know what? With your website, you would have no problem getting a media badge.
That's what I figured, too, except for the whole problem with the business license.
You can use mine.
Oh, yeah. Now, how many things do you get, though? Like, passes. Like, how many passes with that do I get?
As many as you want.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. I just wanted to make sure. So, maybe next year would be a better idea to use us rather than yourself, and then see if we can all get media passes.
I would love to get a media pass and show up for the conferences. They won't let you in the conferences unless you have a media pass, and if you have a media pass, you get invited to all the good parties.
See, and the media and the conferences are the day before. They were on the 11th this year, you know, they're there before, and that's where all the crazy shit comes out.
Yeah, actually, they have conferences the first 3 days, they have exhibits the second, third, and fourth day.
Oh, okay.
So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the conferences, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the exhibits.
Okay, because it seemed like that was where all the really good stuff was coming out anyway. I mean,
you get to listen to Miyamoto talk about what's going on.
Exactly, rather than just, like, walking up to a big booth with a bunch of hot Well, wait, that doesn't sound so bad either. But
we get to do both.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'd want to stay a little bit longer. Now, you only stayed for the one day, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Any reason why, or?
The basic reason was I just got really sick of the traffic there. Another thing to do is if you do plan on going, get your hotel like 2 months in advance. Or don't get it 2 months in advance, then get it the week before, because a lot of hotels is freed up within walking distance, within a couple of miles, because traffic was brutal. I was 9 miles away, and I had to drive in. And I could not, the traffic was so brutal, I didn't want to go the second day. But I really did see it all in one day. You really can check out and explore the whole show in a single day. A second day is mostly just to go back and play all the games you liked the first day.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, especially if you spent the entire time checking out new games and stuff. I imagine a lot of people just spent a lot more time on some of the things and didn't get to see it all in one day, or maybe they got there late and they were stuck in that line for 3 hours. That would suck.
If you
actually went through the whole convention twice. But it's huge. There's two rooms. There's the West Hall and the South Hall. And this, I guess this is how it is every year because I asked about it. The West Hall is all consoles, and the South Hall is all PC. But that's not entirely true because there is crossover on it.
Yeah.
The South Hall is the bigger one, the PC area, and they do have a console presence there, but mostly that's focused towards the PC market. Like Blizzard had their booth there.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys all see my pictures?
Yes, we did, actually, and we actually had a very interesting question about one of those pictures.
Yeah, what's with the cockroaches? Like, is there a video game for Fear Factor coming out?
Yes, there is. I didn't look into the video game. I was too interested in the giveaway. They had a tank full of live cockroaches sitting there, and you could, if you felt so inclined, reach into that tank of cockroaches, roll around, and find a chip. And if you gave it to them, you got a chance to win a laptop computer.
Dude, I would not reach into an aquarium full of roaches. I saw that screenshot and was just like, oh my god, or that picture you sent, and no way. I don't care what they're giving away in there.
Hey, what's with the Vaseline next to the tank?
I was seriously considering, because I was looking at it going, well, like, I mean, come on, they're not going to hurt you. And I'm thinking, no, because right in front of you, it's got to be the most disgusting thing you've ever seen.
Oh, my God. Even the picture, you know, you got some really nice high-res shots, and just in the picture, you see how shiny and slimy-looking they are.
And they're all moving around and crawling and stuff. It was pretty disgusting.
Screw that. But now, a Fear Factor game, we were talking about this just a minute ago. Kobar and I were walking to 7-Eleven and wondering, I mean, could that, you didn't see the game at all?
No, I didn't.
I mean, how stupid could this be, though? Like, what's the big deal? Okay, well, am I really concerned? Is it going to scare me that my character in this video game has to jump off a 30-story building?
No, they have to make everyone skill-based, which removes the whole point of Fear Factor.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not about balls. That's why I don't think it worked too well, but we were just kind of curious about that. And the rest of your shots, you didn't have a whole lot of game shots there. You had, you know, most of the booth babes, which is...
Don't yeah, sorry about that.
That's not a complaint, you know. Not a complaint by any means.
I got to check out more of the games. I took some more pictures of the games, but a lot of them didn't come out very well because, you know, if you take pictures of TV screens, a lot of times you don't get the angle right.
Yeah, I figured that. And for those of you who haven't seen them, the pictures are up on the forums. I posted it on the main page to the website the other day just to bring some attention to the pictures that you sent me that I put up on the forums. But I'm sure a lot of people still haven't seen it yet. I noticed that most people, they don't even bother with the front page of the site. They just go straight to the page with the show on it. The pictures that you had weren't mentioned on there. So if you haven't seen it yet, you're listening to the show, there, his pictures are in the forums. There's like, 20 of them I think you sent me. It's about 5 megs worth of pictures to download. Most of them are just the chicks, though. And then you had a really cool one. Was that, Blizzard's booth with the huge Night Elf chick.
Oh, that was impressive. Honestly, the Blizzard had one of the best booths in the entire show.
Yeah, I know.
I would say the award for best booth goes to Nintendo for the $8 million they spent on their booth.
Holy cow, but I heard Sony had the biggest booth.
Yeah, but Nintendo had the most expensive one. They had LCD screens that went from the ground to the ceiling.
Holy,
they were like 2 or 3 feet wide, and Mario bounced on each one of them like pillars in the room.
That's bad.
And that was the first thing I saw when I walked to the West Hall. I went to the West Hall first, and that was the first thing I saw. You could see anywhere in the West Hall. I was like, oh my god, Mario. And the entire crowd went there first.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I wonder though if most of the reason the crowd went over there first was because of all the Zelda stuff they found out the day before.
Yeah, but the funny thing was, check this out. They had a big old flash screen on the back that they were showing for previews of all their games, and every now and then they just throw a little slice, just like less than a second of Zelda in. You know, the new Zelda?
Yeah.
And then they switch back to other stuff.
Just enough to tease us.
Yeah, and they kept doing that over and over and over again. People are making notes of it, but they wouldn't show it, they wouldn't demo it or anything. You could check out the DS and you could play games on it. They had a room in the back where you could go around and check them out. You could take pictures of them, but you could check them out. And they had it looked interesting. I mean, it looked like well, you know, I guess it has a lot of cool capability, but if somebody really maximizes it, could make for a very unique console.
Okay, hang on a second.
Well, I was going to say that Zelda, the E3 is designed for games that are coming out in the next year, and Zelda's not going to be coming out until after E3 2005.
Possibly.
No, that's what they said. Miyamoto said that you will have a playable demo next E3.
But wasn't that you that I was talking to that said it was like October?
Well, yeah, but that was their...
Yeah, I know, obviously.
That was,
you know,
EB screwing up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and now EB says like March of 2005 or something. But obviously, Nintendo is the only one who really knows what's going on, you know. About the DS, you know, because this just lends itself to good conversation. Did you actually get to take a look at it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure you just said that, but I was thinking that we were trying. It's hard for us to, like, interrupt you because you can't really hear us when you're talking, you know.
Yeah.
So we have to do a little strategizing here when we can talk. Was it clear? Now, there's video floating around the internet of the DS, and I actually haven't seen any of it yet, but you saw the Nintendo, or the Mario 64 one?
Yeah, I saw a couple of them, the Mario 64 and the Metroid. Mario 64 looked good, but the clipping plane was really short. The textures were kind of muddy. I mean, you're trying to take a console game and
see, that's
slam
what I was
it into
worried
a little...
about. Okay, now, did you get a chance to see Ode... Mario 64 running on the DS?
No, they had a... Yeah, I did see one thing where they had Mario flying through the air.
Uh-huh.
That was the... And then I saw there was some other demonstrations they had, which were more like tech demonstrations of the platform.
How clear was it, though? Because all the video you see on the internet is compressed with, you know, shit time or if we're lucky, Windows Media Video or DivX or something, whatever. They always use some kind of crappy compression, and then they look very... You know, I mean, it's hard to tell, you know, how clear these things are.
Take the Game Boy SP screen and put two of them on a little handheld unit, and that's what you got.
But in the game itself, it's pretty clear, though?
Yeah.
Like the resolution.
It looks good, huh?
It looks fine. I mean, it didn't look as good as the thing is, okay, the PSP was a little weird, because I did not actually see the PSP playing anything.
Okay, this is exactly where I was going to go with this, was right into the PSP so we could talk about these portables a little bit. Now, I've actually seen video of that, and the videos are a little bit clearer, and it looks pretty impressive, but I still haven't seen anything that makes me believe it's better than the PlayStation 2.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, Nintendo, I look at this whole DS with Nintendo as they're reaching for something. They think, okay...
They're out of their minds.
Sony's entering the portable market, they're going to kick our ass technology-wise, so let's offer something they don't have. Let's offer something with two screens and a touchscreen.
Exactly. This is very gimmicky, and they're out of their minds if they think somebody's going to actually use this as some kind of a PDA. I mean, it's got a stylus and stuff like that, too. I mean, they're going to have carts for, you know, organization and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I've seen... the PSP, though, in the videos that we've seen and everything we've read about them, they actually, in the videos I've seen, they actually show them, we were just watching some, playing movies and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Interesting.
You know, remember that? Okay, in one of the pictures that you sent us, it was kind of like behind a glass case or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what the video is. The video is of the ones behind the glass case playing, they had movies playing, they had a couple of them running.
Yeah, that looked so gimmicky because it looked like they just took... like 4x4-inch, you know, flat panel LCDs and just played a videotape through them.
Well, they didn't, though. That was running on the PSP, wasn't it?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, they could have just done that, put a prop of a PSP in front of it.
Yeah.
For a secured location.
It could have been, but I don't know. I'm probably willing to bet, because we have heard for a while that they're supposed to play movies and stuff like that.
Well, and even if they did, it's not exactly a whole lot of power. I mean, how hard is it to play a movie?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's no big deal.
Oh, speaking of games and stuff, we looks like you might have an interview with Bruce Ferguson of Sony Online Entertainment about EverQuest 2. Are you interested?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I talked to him about the radio show, and he's interested to, he wants to be interviewed on it.
Cool. I've actually got something coming up that's pretty interesting, similar to that, too, which I don't want to blow anything yet, but that's interesting. Did you get anybody else? I mean, you told me about that before. I didn't know how many people you'd talk to. You didn't tell me. You just mentioned that you were going to, you know, poke around for us and see what you couldn't hook us
up. Oh, yeah. And there's a couple others. One of them, we might have an interview with Mike Wallace.
See, this would be awesome.
The Mike Wallace.
That name is very familiar, but I don't know who it is.
Yeah, he's pretty high up in Eidos. He's a producer. That might not happen. So I'll let you guys know more.
Again,
communication.
That'd be sweet. That's awesome. What I like hearing though is from like the programmers or the game designer standpoint. So I don't want to hear some PR line from some guy that you know. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear, you know, a half an interview that's more like an advertisement. Granted, you've got to talk about, you know, the new games and stuff. Kind of, that's just fine and dandy. But the type of listener that listens to us that actually takes that much time out of their day to listen to, you know, a couple of nerds talk about video games is, you know, pretty hardcore into video games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they want to hear about, you know, the insider stuff in the industry, too. So, I mean, I got to be kind of picky when it comes to the questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, not fluffy questions that are designed around, like, you know, answers that are about, you know, the game tied into, you know, whatever new game it is every time. But that's something to talk about later because we don't want to get everybody too excited.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll try to get some interviews arranged with these people. But I agree with you. We should get the developers more than the people who are in the PR. It was interesting at the show because some of the booths, like I heard that originally at the booths, it used to be just the people who were involved in creation of the games. And ever since then, now that games have become a $10+ billion industry, now a lot of PR people are hired for that because they're more attractive and they know what to say. And they're not going to say what's bad about a game.
Exactly.
But there were a few booths, like Eidos was one of them.
Wait, this ties perfectly into the Phantom booth.
Oh, yeah. The t-shirt rocks, by the way.
You got a t-shirt?
Yeah, they were giving out free t-shirts, and the eyes and the letters glow in the dark.
Nice. Yeah, but okay, now you got to tell us about the guy. Remember you were telling me when you were leaving E3, you called and you told me about the guy, and you were asking him questions, and
Oh, yeah. I was asking one guy questions about the development of the Phantom. I said, how many developers do you have already? He says, we're not allowed to say. I'm like, how many games are you going to have for the consoles? And we're not allowed to say, just give me a rough number. He says, I have no idea.
When you left E3, I talked to you for like an hour or two on the phone when you were driving back. You know, you told me, that's why I'm trying to remember what you said just to make sure that, you know, we can keep the show going about E3. And yeah, it sounded like this guy didn't know a damn thing.
No, I started asking him. I said, okay, well, you know, just to catch everyone up, because some people out there might not know what the Phantom is. It's a gaming console invented by Infinium Labs. It's basically a PC platform, but it's designed to download entire games. Basically, you pay a subscription. You don't buy games. You pay for it. Like, I think it was going to be $30 a month. And you would get a game, and you'd be able to play any of the games that they have currently supported at that time.
Yeah, because what they're doing is they're taking PC games and trying to rig it up so it works really well with a controller and over their network.
Exactly. What they'll do is they'll stream you the game, and they'll give you just what you need to start playing, and they'll stream the rest of it in the background, and you can sit there and play the game. So they have like Unreal tournaments in there, some racing games, and some other games.
Now, if I remember correctly, now they're not the only ones who are trying this idea, or at least working on or at least working on something like this. It seems to me that Apex, you know, DVD, you know, they're best known for their DVDs. That's probably all they do is making DVD players. I could have sworn I saw something that Apex was making something like this too. I don't know who thought this was a good idea one day.
I don't know. It kind of sounds like DivX for movies,
doesn't it?
I mean, for video games.
Yeah. I don't know how this plans on working. I don't want to sit there and have to download something and not have like a nice physical thing. And what if they stop supporting that game?
Oh, if it's a game you like to play, you're screwed.
Yeah, you know, if you're really into Unreal or whatever the hell it is that you want to play, and, oh, sorry, you know, we dropped support for this because it wasn't that popular, you're screwed. You know, I don't see this thing being, I definitely do not see it competing with Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony.
I would say it's the best time in the world to short their stock.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're out of their minds. I mean, sure, try it. You know, I'm sure, I mean, it's got to be tried before, you know, we can completely slam it and say it's a horrible idea and whatnot. But if you've gone looking around the internet at all about the company and the guy behind this company, it's all shady. It is all shady. It's scary. Like, I'd be afraid to put any money into this at all.
I would like to tell people not to buy it right now. Wait and see what happens. Wait to see. I mean, if it takes off, it's not going to be a big deal. You can buy it later when the price goes down anyway, and there'll be game support for it. You should never buy a console when it first comes out. It's just the worst time to buy it. There's no games for it.
Yeah, you're buying it for like the two or three games that it ships, you know, maybe they ship at the same time with, you know. But
yeah, but someone's got to buy it right off the gate.
Somebody does, yeah, you know. Those are the guys that want to play Halo right away. Those are the guys that want to play, you know, like Mario. When I got the Nintendo 64 right away, and all I had was Mario 64, that was all I needed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was it for me. When the Xbox came out, there was nothing I really wanted to play. When the PlayStation 2 came out, there was nothing I was dying to play. When the GameCube came out, there was actually quite a bit of things that I was waiting for, but they never came. They're coming now, you know, but they just never came, and the price of the consoles dropped incredibly, you know, so whatever. You know what it is? It's the cool factor. It's the, look what I got on the first fucking day, and I'm calling in sick to work because I'm playing my Xbox 27, you know, and I'm playing Halo 48 on this. You know, that's what's cool about it, you know. It's like you're the first guy to have the new, you know, game and to be able to play it, so I don't see anything wrong with it. Plus, okay, granted, you know, they had a few bad runs, you know, like Microsoft had some bad DVD drives, Sony had some bad DVD drives in their PlayStation 2 and the Xbox there. But the Xbox One, like the original one that was rolled out, was the easiest to hack for the longest time. Now we've got different versions, which, you know, they've got more anti-hacking stuff in there, and they've got, you know, they've changed up some parts, so it's a little bit different.
The original PlayStation 2 sucked. I know people who went through three or four of
them. Yeah, I heard horror stories of those things, too.
Man.
You know? I haven't put enough miles on mine to even...
After waiting 5 months for it to ship, you'd expect it to be good, you know?
Yeah, you'd think, but, you know, they like cutting corners everywhere. Now, you went and you saw World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
This is a big one that I know a lot of people want to hear about, so get started.
People are going to hate me for this, and I think that if you have any readers, if you have any listeners, they might leave you for me telling you this.
Now, hold on. First of all, now listen up. Okay, you've always been a supporter of this game.
Yes.
So this is why what you're about to say actually carries some weight. Those of you who've spoken to Ode before, either on the forums or you know, I know you talk to him on Final Fantasy a lot, or heard anything, he's always supported this game and had nothing but good shit to say about it. So let her rip. And so does your little clone, Dar. Him and I got into a huge argument over this yesterday.
Well, it just comes down to this. The game is, okay, it's not bad. It's there's nothing bad about it. But there's nothing, I mean, it's not Blizzard. It's not what you've come to expect. You've come to expect Blizzard to make a trend-setting game that's going to define the market, change everything, and make something that just stands out in the industry. And what you're getting out of this so far, what I saw, what I played, was nothing more than another MMO that was a little polished in some ways, a little less polished in others. It's not going to be any better than Final Fantasy XI. It's not going to be better than... It's not going to be better than EverQuest 2. It's going to be equivalent to all those games. But it's not a trend-setting game. It's not going to redefine the industry like everyone thinks it will.
See, this is what I kept...
Unless they change it. It's still in beta, by the way. So
yeah.
They might change it and they might enhance it.
There's still a long time to go on this, but I keep hearing... Yeah, I keep running into people that swear up and down that this is the game to end all games. And you know, I've had to take the ultra-negative approach. I cannot carry on a conversation with these people and maintain a normal, neutral attitude. I can't do it because they're so, you know, oh, this is going to be the best game ever. There's nothing wrong with it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like they've never played it. They don't know anything about it. All they know is it's an MMORPG from Blizzard that they've never seen or played.
Well, but in saying that, I'm going to say one thing, you know, Guild Wars.
Exactly. Now, I'm trying to tie this all together while still covering everything pretty well in depth. I was going to get to Guild Wars next. But back on, we gotta stay on World of Warcraft for a minute. I keep running into people that swear up and down this is it. This is the killer game. Now I also ran into people that swore up and down, you know, Lineage 2 was the killer game. And what happened there? You know, yeah, it's got beautiful graphics, and in my opinion, the graphics on Lineage 2 are just, you know, fantastic. They're just amazing, and they blow away World of Warcraft's visuals. Yet it's not any different. It's like the same thing, and I don't understand why everybody has to get so excited over, you know, World of Warcraft simply because it's from Blizzard. So I have to take an ultra negative approach all the time, just try to balance it out a little bit, and I have to say everything bad I can possibly think of, just to, you know, get them going a little bit, you know, just to piss them off and get them arguing with me over it, you know. But I have not seen anything very special about this game yet, and I haven't heard anything that really makes me interested in playing this at all. I mean, and now that you've actually sat there and seen it and had a good, hard look at it, I mean, and yeah, it's more of the same. Whoop-de-doo.
It's just more of the same at this point. They, you know, they have some things they did differently. Being able to fly is fucking cool. The graphics are good. They don't look good in any other screenshots and stuff. I know that, but when you're actually sitting there playing the game, the graphics are good. I'd say they're comparable to Final Fantasy XI. I'd say everything about the game is comparable to Final Fantasy XI or EverQuest 2.
Huh.
But I don't like Lineage 2. I really don't.
Were they showing that there?
Yeah, Lineage 2 and Blizzard for World of Warcraft get my vote for the best cinematics. They were playing cinematics on giant screens just nonstop between the two of them, and they seriously had the best opening cinematics. So if you do buy Lineage 2, you're going to be pleased with a very beautiful opening movie that will make you cry and make you want to watch it over and over again. The same thing if you purchase World of Warcraft, you'll get the exact you'll get an opening movie that's even better. That's really, really well done.
Blizzard has always impressed me with their CGI. Back in the day, it's always been really top-notch for the time.
Yeah, and they know it, too. I mean, because in the collector's edition of, like, Warcraft 3 and Diablo 2, they give you a DVD with all the cinematics on it, you know, uncompressed. And
Warcraft
fast.
3 has some, oh, like
they
that,
do. They
that
are
bird.
Nice. They
just,
are nice.
You have to, like, triple look at it to make sure it's not real. It's just fake enough that you know that they actually did
it. It's pretty badass, but it's like, I'm not playing for the cinematics.
No.
You know, as cool as the video was for Final Fantasy XI when you first installed it and first fired up, and it was one of the coolest videos I think I've seen, I've never seen it since then. You know?
By the way, was your audio screwed up on that movie?
No.
Off?
Uh-uh.
Mine is.
No. Maybe, are you playing on a laptop or on your home
machine? No, on my home machine.
Does it work on the laptop just fine?
I haven't checked.
I'll check it out later. How weird. Mine was just fine, though, and I was just in awe watching it, but I've never seen it since. I mean, it was one of the neatest videos I think I've ever seen, so. But, you know, look at Lineage 2 and tell me they're not selling that whole game on the sex appeal. Have you seen the characters in this game?
Oh, yeah, they're all hot.
And you know, you read on the forum, like, 80% of the people you run to are female Dark Elves.
They start wearing a thong. You run around with that.
even later on, though, even later on, the burly armor is still, like, very, very revealing.
it's totally designed for sex appeal, but my take on it is, I tried to play the beta, and I tried to play the real game, and I tried to play the real game in the booth there. It's not horrible, and there's nothing really glaringly bad, but there's no content, there's no intrigue in the game. World of Warcraft's going to be a lot better, and Final Fantasy XI's already better, and EverQuest 2 should be better, too.
Yeah. I'm actually curious. You know, the EverQuest 2 beta signups end today. Oh, shit. They ended 5 hours ago.
It looks like... Okay, I got a chance to check out EverQuest 2 as well there.
Oh, yeah?
It's looking more and more and more and more like Final Fantasy XI every single day. They even have a boat that you start the game out in that looks identical to the ferry in Final Fantasy XI.
See, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, Final Fantasy came in and just stormed the market. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. And you know, Cobart, you played EverQuest, and was that you telling me that it seems like they keep adding Final Fantasy type stuff into it?
I have a few friends that still play it, and yeah, every time they add something, it's something that's in Final Fantasy.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's a good idea! Slap it in!
What I want to see in all these, what I want to see in World of Warcraft, what I want to see in City of Heroes and Guild Wars, Lineage 2, EverQuest 2, what I want to see in all of these is perfect, like Final Fantasy XI has, controller support. This is a huge thing for me, because I cannot stand to play these kind of games hunched over my keyboard for hours on it. I just can't do it.
You're going to have to let me rant about Guild Wars for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I definitely plan on that. I just want to make sure we saved it for last. So, is there anything you wanted to talk, not last in the show, last in this segment here about MMORPGs, was there any others that you saw that it stood out, or?
Oh, well, there was a bunch of other MMOs. There was one that's an imitation of Diablo that was made by some, like, Oriental company, and they, it sucked.
MMO Cliff.
It looks like identical Diablo. I mean, like, the interface is the same, everything about it is the same, but it's massively multiplayer, where you have tens of thousands of players or whatever, but it looks bad. There's another one, Wish, that really sucked. There's a bunch of them that really sucked. That was,
Damn, you're just blowing through these.
Like, I went through and checked them all out. They're all pretty bad. I don't know if the new Playboy game is multiplayer, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, I think it's just like a Sims that's...
Yeah, that looked like crap.
Yeah.
Okay, well, about EverQuest 2, the graphics you saw, did they look as plasticky, or not plastic, but maybe... they do look very plasticky and shiny, like kind of claymation in all the screenshots and videos I've seen. Did it look like that in the actual game?
Well, EverQuest 2 looked beautiful. Graphics-wise, all the second-generation MMOs coming out look great.
Yeah, the graphics are outstanding, but I noticed in the screenshots for EverQuest 2 particularly, did you ever see any player models or any of the monsters? They look very claymation, like, and... plastic and shiny looking.
Well, I'm gonna say this.
You just stepped out of a rave or something.
Yeah, look. Looking at it, I thought it looked excellent. And honestly, if someone's playing EverQuest 2, isn't gonna have any issues with the graphics.
They're gonna have issues with the machine they're trying to run it on.
that might be true.
That's gonna be, I think, the big thing. Well, I'm not saying the graphics are bad. I mean, the graphics are great. They just look like they went overboard with like the shine tool or something.
And they do have a great player base that's gonna switch over. They've been doing MMOs longer than everybody else, so there's gonna be an edge there. But I think it's the same thing as Lineage 2. I think Lineage 2 was just riding on the fame of Lineage 1, and I believe EverQuest 2 is gonna be no different. I'm gonna give EverQuest 2, cause you figure, okay, MMOs are not like most games where you can play and beat them and play the next one,
Yeah.
Taking on an MMO is like adopting a pet.
It is. It totally is.
It takes a lot of time, and you can't have that many.
Which is why you've got to, like, you know...
You can't play two.
You can't, yeah. And, yeah. There'd be no way.
Forget that. I mean, back a while, I had no job. All I did was play EverQuest, and there's no way I could do another one even then.
There's not enough of you to do it. I know, and I know people that have tried, and they end up going to one very soon. You know, it takes them like 2 weeks to realize they can't handle two. But the thing what I wanted to make clear was, you know, obviously these things require dedication and a commitment by the player. And just what you saw at E3 is not an end-all, be-all review, you know, in any way of these games. Because you didn't spend more than maybe a half an hour, probably to an hour max on these. And this is something that takes, shit, months to master, or even fully
understand. And they're all beta, too.
Yeah, that too. Now, I wanted to ask something. Did you know, when was EverQuest released, the first one?
1995?
Oh, was it really? Because I was wondering when it came out in relation to a game called Under.
No, not 95. I'm going to say late 98, early 99.
Yeah, I
want
to say, yeah.
It's been out for about 5 years.
5 years now, because they just had their 5-year anniversary.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
So it had to be like late. Yeah, okay.
Was Ultima online at night? Was 95, or? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I think Ultima was.
Ultima's old.
Ultima's ancient. And there's another really old one, too, Underlight.
Then there were MUDs before then, and MUDs were just like this. You just sucked up hours and hours and hours of time leveling characters and exploring places.
That's what it's all about, baby.
No, it was great. I used to play Shadowdale, and I would play the hell out of it.
Yeah. See, exactly. Just without the graphics, it's the same game, though. Okay, now the one you raved about, Guild Wars.
Guild Wars is going to change player versus player as we know it in the massively multiplayer market. Because up till now, I'll just say it right now. I mean, I used to play Dark Age of Camelot. I played just about every MMO out there. I've tried player versus player in all of them. I'll say Dark Age of Camelot probably did the best job of anyone up till now. And it was fun. It was fun. It was enjoyable. But it's nothing compared to. It's not even like in the same category compared to what Guild Wars is going to have. Guild Wars had a line that was like halfway around the building.
I think a lot of the interest sparked in Guild Wars is because of who it's from.
And, oh, well, yes, it's from ex-Blizzard employees.
Yeah, so that carries a lot of weight with it right there.
But, no, these people are seriously, the game, just independently, this game is something else. The game, it has a player versus environment experience. It's, for people that don't know, when you play a massively multiplayer game, there's two terms people use, PvE and PvP. Player versus environment versus player versus player. Player versus environment is where you deal with, where you're basically killing,
creatures.
Yeah, critters, or you're doing quests, or you're on conquest. It's basically player versus environment, anywhere you're going against the computer.
Yeah.
Player versus player is where you're killing other players.
Yeah, most of your gameplay is that. In most of these MMORPGs that are out today, anyway.
Yeah, most of it's player versus environment, and people try to do player versus player, but what the complaint you hear from everyone is, it's dull. You try it, and it gets old real quick. Well, there seriously was a line halfway around E3 just to get into the competition. They had two groups, four people each, going at it, player versus player, and just had these competitions, closed competitions, on Guild Wars.
Wow.
And they were giving away prizes, they're giving away like 32 meg thumbsticks and things like that. But that wasn't just because of the prizes. People were seriously enjoying it. And you could actually see it. They had an announcer sitting there explaining the strategies they were using, and it was unreal. They have Capture the Flag. They have all those things. They're all built in, but it's just really well done. The classes even right now are already well balanced.
See, that's pretty cool that they have like a game to it, which is what I thought was really neat that Final Fantasy XI did with their player versus player, was it wasn't just out slaughtering people. Yeah, you get to go out and kill people, but there's a goal too, so it made it more of like a fun game rather than just, holy crap, people are gonna shoot me. I've played Deathmatch before. It has a time and a place.
Oh yeah, no, they have objectives for everything. In the player versus environment experience, it's not even an MMO, it's so different. But they have an MMO experience where you can group of people and just kill dragons or whatever. And so they do is they changed a lot of things. Transportation looks like a single-player RPG where you just click a map, you click your destination, and you're suddenly there.
Oh, wow.
So they basically walk in the background just like you do in a normal RPG. You know how most RPGs, if you've explored to a place, you can suddenly warp there?
Yeah, yeah.
And they do that. They figure you're walking there, but you're just walking, in the background.
But how does that change, the time? This is a persistent world.
Yeah.
If you got guys that are, clicking on the map, they go from, say, one end of the world to the other. Do you have to wait, a period of time?
No, you're instantly there, and you can switch servers dynamically anytime.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't stack to a server either. You don't like your server, go to a different one.
And it's going to be free.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They specifically, one of the things a lot of these other MMOs do is they know that you're going to be hooked on leveling. They know you're going to be hooked on all the stuff. So they try to give you a lot of content to keep you sucked in so you keep playing so they can collect their monthly fees. There is no monthly fee for this game. And all they say is the only thing they're going to charge for is expansions.
That kind of worries me, though, because if you're not playing for network, if you're not paying for the network, they're not going to go through the expense of keeping cheaters out.
Well, that's what you think, but look what Blizzard does for Battle.net.
Yeah, and you know what? That came up on the forums, actually on, of all places, IGN's forums. Some guy was talking, they were talking about Guild Wars, and somebody said, I want to pay for this game. This is one guy on the forum somewhere, and of course he got, just yelled at and all this stuff. Everybody going, no, I want it to be free, I don't want to pay $10. But this guy said, I want to pay for Guild Wars because it looks like it's going to be the game I want to play, and I want the best experience they can give me, and I want, I want to have an active staff that's going to keep, maybe GM events, and keep adding new shit for me all the time.
Yeah, if you're paying for a game, they're putting at least some of that money back into the network, making sure it stays current, making sure that you have the best bandwidth you can get, all that sort of thing. If you're not paying for it, they're going to put as little money into the network as they possibly can.
Yeah, because they're not
going
to have any other. They're not going to have any income.
Well, think about this though. Okay, now you guys are thinking old style MMOs, all right? I know this is hard to do because when I went there, it opened my mind. It's the best way to say it. It's not whatever you think of MMOs now. Guild Wars is not that.
Okay.
It's almost like a different kind of game, but the closest thing I can call it is an MMO. Here's the best analogy I can come up with. If you played Warcraft 3 online, it's like that in an MMO. You know how they're great about keeping cheaters off, and they have this great open environment. You just go there and play. They release patches all the time to support it on a regular basis, and it's all there.
Well, that's in theory. The game's not out yet, so we don't know how they're going to keep up on this yet.
Well, yeah, but they do it with Warcraft 3.
Well, Blizzard did.
Same guys.
Well, I know, but you know,
not financially.
But exactly, exactly. They do not have the backing they had over there.
True.
You know, so that's why this is going to be very interesting. Or we're going to see an expansion pack every 2 months. That's the only other thing I can see happening, and I actually could see that happening because, okay, just using Final Fantasy as an example. There is only one expansion out for that currently, right? Rise of the Zillard. But that came, like, as far as Americans are concerned, that was just part of the game because it came with it and just, you know, you don't think of it as an expansion, really, okay? So we're seeing what we're, you know, as most of us are looking at it as our first real expansion. We've been paying $13 a month this whole time, but look at how much they've added already. You know, this huge player versus player stuff, tons of items, all kinds of shit. New recipe, I mean, just you name it, they added it. They've added all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm cool with that. It was like a free upgrade. I didn't have to go to the store and go buy a damn expansion pack for it because I've been paying monthly. If these guys plan on keeping up with that amount of content, we're going to see expansion packs an awful lot. I mean, it's going to be like EverQuest number of expansions in like a year.
Well, no, the way I look at it is this. They're not. I don't think they're going to be targeting that market. It's not going to be... I'll say right now... They probably won't have the same same player versus environment experience as you're going to have in EverQuest 2 or you're going to have in a game like Final Fantasy 11.
Does it seem like the kind of game that you're going to sit down and if you like have the day off, you would play all day?
It's the kind of game you would play skirmishy because even the player versus player is built on a skirmishy level where you have set tournaments. It's sort of like Warcraft 3 where you have a game you enter into and then you're stuck for the end until the end of that game, but then you can just break off after that and do whatever.
So it's more multiplayer than massively multiplayer.
Exactly. It's almost like the world is a meeting ground to have your little tournaments. But you can level up in your world, but you don't level up far. It doesn't have a long treadmill like they have like all these other games. I think the cap is level 15 or something.
Whoa.
Really low, and you get there relatively quick, and you can kill dragons and a group of people, and you get a feel for the game. So the whole player versus environment experience is almost a training ground for the player versus player.
Wow, that's okay. That I'd never heard. I didn't know. That sounds weird.
Basically, they put so much into the player versus player experience that it's just really that good.
You know what it sounds like? You know what it sounds like to me? This is all I can think of when I'm hearing this now is Infos, but with a bigger map.
Yeah, check this out. When you start a game,
yeah,
you have access to a lot of abilities,
that's
right?
What it sounds like. It's like a game of Infos where you just fire it up and boom, you're fighting other people, except for... Obviously, as opposed to fighting monsters, you'd be fighting other guys. In Infos, you start with a first level guy every time, but you level up really fast.
Now imagine playing like a massively playing a multiplayer game where you're going into a battle with 10 other guys against 10 people, and you have 150 abilities to choose between, and you have to pick 8 of them.
Holy shit!
And those 8 abilities are all you're going to have for that whole match.
Can you change it?
No, not during the game. You can change it between matches.
Between matches, okay.
Yeah. So you work with your teammates and you say, okay, well, you're going to have these abilities and I'm going to have these abilities and we're going to do it like this.
This suddenly doesn't sound as cool as I thought it would be. I really don't see this as cool as I thought I kept hearing it was going to be. Like, it sounds like it would be a great game for fans of, like, Warcraft.
I think it's going to be great because it gives you your experience. You're still developing your own character.
Yeah, see, that's really cool. I like that. I would, you know, that's really neat that you're going to be able to take the same character back, you know, day in and day out to use them. But if there's not much beyond, say, level 15 that you get to rather quick, I'd lose that whole you're in a huge world feeling.
Well, they're going to change. They say that the expansions are going to be the best thing there. They didn't say what the level cap was, but the guy said, let's say it was 15. That's what he told
them. Oh, okay.
So they did show some of the player versus environment experience. You could run around and kill dragons and orcs and all kinds of crap. You know, there's all, you know, and it looked fun. It was fast paced. I liked the combat system better than a lot of other MMOs out there. Because it was fast paced, it was interesting, and it kept you going.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is, it's going to have a player versus environment experience. It's going to be cool. That's not really what the game's about.
Yeah, that's what I think that needs to be made clear about this game. I keep hearing everybody saying this is, you know, a great MMORPG coming out, and I think people need to, you know, relabel the game, I think. You know, because I think they're given the wrong impression by calling it an MMORPG when, yeah, I guess it very well is, but they need to clarify more, like an MMORPG RTS. FPS, you know, something, I don't know. They need to change it up with something, just so it stands out a little more, because also, you know, I'm afraid, I mean, you label it an MMORPG, and what's going to happen if it doesn't really rock the world? It's going to get, you know, balled into the whole slew of, oh, it's just another MMORPG. It's going to get put shelved with the rest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they,
Shadowlands.
Like Shadowbane.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but...
Here's something to keep in mind. World of Warcraft was there, and everyone wanted to see that. EverQuest 2 was there. All these other games were there, and everyone was at the Guild Wars booth.
Wow. That's very good. Yeah, that says a lot, you know. That's awesome.
You know, you have less than a 16th of a mile away. Like you know, even the laziest person could walk there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could see the sign, World of Warcraft, hanging there, and you could walk over there and play World of Warcraft, or you could stand in line for 20 minutes to play Guild Wars.
Damn.
So everyone stood in line for 20 minutes to play Guild Wars.
Huh.
There were a lot of people at the World of Warcraft booth, too. I mean, I'm not going to say
sure.
But like, I had no problem sitting down to play a game. Like, you sat down, and like there were like three open computers. I just sat down, one of them started playing.
Huh.
Guild Wars, I had to wait half an hour to play Guild Wars.
Sounds like you were fighting the mobs, like you were waiting in line for some Pokemon crap during Christmas time.
And there was no chance I was going to play the competition. The competition was just, the line was 2 hours long at least.
Jesus, that's cool, though. Now, what else did you see down there? I mean, you know what? You said you saw Blood Rain 2 down there.
Yeah, it looked decent. I mean, it probably got stuck as much as the first one.
Probably. But the whole point of me bringing that up, that picture you got of the Blood Rain chick?
Yeah.
Was she hot?
Yeah.
Because in your picture, you didn't get a good shot of her face. You just see her hair. She's turned away.
It was pretty awesome. There were hotter chicks there. There was one of the girls in Backyard Wrestling that Yaido's booth was a porn star, and she was gorgeous.
Oh. Damn.
And then the AI guy for Backyard Wrestling challenged me to a duel.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote the artificial intelligence.
Nice.
And he kicked my ass.
Yeah, I bet.
I hate to tell him that's a shitty game.
Yeah, I know. I didn't hear too much good stuff about it. And this is the one that's being backed by the Insane Clown Posse, right?
I don't know.
Hasn't that been out for like a long time?
I think it's
time?
Been out for a while, because I'm sure I've seen it, yeah. That must have been all they had to show. Now, was Thief 3 there?
Yeah, it was there.
Shit.
It looked great. It really did. The only thing that sucked about it was that, like, you're sitting there trying to check out Thief 3, and you know that 25 to life game?
Yeah.
There was like, okay, the guys and girls everywhere, you know, like all these girls dressed up in like nothing, like standing there, like trying to drag you to the 25
Perfect.
To life booth.
Yeah.
Because it's all in the same booth. It was in the same publisher, but for some reason they didn't want you playing Thief, they wanted you playing 25 to life.
Really?
Thief was actually really cool, but 25 to life really sucked.
Maybe it was just the chicks were more aggressive on that side, because they're the running with scissors crowd.
Yeah.
No, they're the company.
I think they were just told to get a lot of people there, because they think it's going to be the next Grand Theft Auto. Everyone thinks, okay, you make a bloody gore game where people hurt each other and stuff. Okay, Punisher, right?
Yeah.
I've played that game a while. This is going to be the goriest game of the year.
You think so? Even more than 25 to life? That looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it looks bad, but no, this game is going to be worse. Both games are going to suck. 25 to life has a horrible interface. I was sitting there desperately trying to play it, and I had no luck, and the graphics suck. Punisher has great graphics, but good luck trying to control it.
Really?
The controller is so shitty. Like, maybe they'll fix it before it comes out.
Was that a console game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What was it on?
It was on the PlayStation 2, but it looks really good.
There you
go. The score is awesome. You get to torture people. You can stick their heads
in piranhas. We already figured out your problem. It's on the PlayStation. So.
You can stick their heads in piranha tanks, and you can torture anyone. You can walk up, you can grab a guy, and just start punching him and asking him questions.
Nice. Did you actually get to spend any time with Thief 3, though?
I got to check it out a little bit. I couldn't get in to play it. I waited around a while and finally got sick of waiting because nobody wanted to get off the computer. But I was watching somebody play it and it looked really nice.
Nice. That's awesome.
I really should have gone back the next day. I mean, I kind of regret not doing it now.
Yeah, but you know what? There's always next year and hopefully it'll be bigger and better things.
And I'll have a media pass next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to hook that up.
Then you get the good parties.
You know what we're going to do? You know what we should do?
I would sell my soul.
Hell yeah. You know what we'll do? I'll bring a backpack. And I'll throw my laptop in the backpack, and I'll wire the microphone up to, like, my shoulder, right? Like, throughout the back, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I'll, like, stick it up on my shoulder or something. We'll go cruising around.
There were people walking around with video cameras, like, giant, like, video cameras. Yeah, the guys from G4 were everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, that'd be so cool, though. Yeah. Was it hella noisy?
Oh, God, yeah. Like, you couldn't even hear yourself think. You had to talk to someone, you had to yell.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it'd be tough to record in it.
Yeah, because you'd hear nothing but, like, background noise.
Well, everyone has either loud rock music playing, or death sounds, or some guy on an amplified microphone discussing the game.
Damn. Yeah, that kind of blows.
We
could
still bring a video camera and get...
Oh, and the Coors Twins were there.
Nice. I don't doubt there was just all kinds of stuff there that you maybe you didn't run into. All kinds of crazy models and whatnot.
Oh, there are plenty of good-looking girls. Tiger and Gabe were supposed to show up Wednesday, and I went to the booth where they were supposed to show up, and that's when Blood Rain showed up, so...
Who? Oh, the Penny Arcade guys.
Yeah. The first day I showed up the next day, and it was a really huge showing, but I was kind of thinking, like, I really don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, you're there for the games and stuff, you know, you're there to see what's coming out, whatever.
Yeah, I don't want to them cool to hype another one of their, you know, products that they advertise.
Yeah, whatever. Let's see, what else, now you had you were telling me about other games, and I failed to write them down when you were, because when you left, you called me, and we talked about it for like 2 hours, and I kept going, save it, hold on, dude, for the recording, you know? I can't think of... Are you leaving anything out? I mean, how about this? Did you see anything that really, like, okay, when we heard the news about Zelda, this was like the fucking bomb was dropped, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This was like it. I basically tuned out everything else because, like, it didn't matter. It wasn't bigger than this. But was there anything that was still, like, maybe like a 9.9, you know, like, just under the Richter scale of Zelda? Like, maybe a Quake 4, StarCraft 2? Was there anything else that really kind of rocked your boat that you weren't even, like, sure you were going to hear or see about?
No, they, not really.
No, see, this is why I think Nintendo dominated the show. They had the biggest news.
And they're the biggest booth, too. Doom, no, Doom 3, it was on the console, it was playable. I got to play it. They took you in this overheated room because they're like, and you can sit there and play it.
Yeah.
And, Doom 3 was pretty weak.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was okay. I mean, it was a fun... But it wasn't what you expect by Soft. It's one of those things where it's like, it's a mediocre game, but... Hey, dude, let's put you on hold for a second.
Yeah, no problem. I heard. Yeah, I know, because I kept... I know, my personal thing is like, id Software, you know... They're gods when it comes to the engine, the technology behind it.
Right.
I don't expect Doom 3 to be all that fun, but I bet it's still gotta be kind of fun.
They probably work too hard on the graphics.
You know, I bet you're right. I wonder how it runs on my system. That's like my biggest concern.
Sorry, Doom 3 will kick my system's ass.
I don't stand a chance. It's gonna steamroll me, and I'm gonna be like, God damn it, this game cost me $50, and now it's gonna cost me like $400 in upgrades. It's like, you know what? I'm gonna bend over and take it and like it.
But
like
every FPS for the next 3 years after it's gonna use that engine.
Yes,
true. You gotta do it.
Exactly. You gotta be on the
knowledge. Because it always happens.
Exactly.
They come out with an engine, and everybody uses it.
Yeah, and there's a reason, though, which is why I think that I'm going to end up liking Doom 3 so much is because maybe it doesn't have the deepest story, okay? But just to see the cool stuff, the physics engine, and tell you the truth, I enjoyed Doom more than I've enjoyed any other first-person shooter ever, was Doom 1 and Doom 2.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out. Now, granted, a large part of that probably had to do with that it was the only ones at the time. But, like, Heretic came out, and Hexen played out, and they still didn't give me that feeling that I was running around and I was stuck on this moon base and I was being chased by these demons. I was genuinely terrified of these creatures and monsters chasing me around. When I was playing that game late at night, I got my headphones on, you know, because I didn't want to wake up my mom and shit like that, you know, because I had to go to school in like 4 hours. And there I am, you know, something jumps out on the corner, and I was like, ah! You know, I mean, that was a good feeling, and no game I played since Wolfenstein or Doom has done that to me. Not Quake, I couldn't stand Quake 1, Quake 2 didn't do it.
You didn't like Quake?
No, I can't stand Quake.
Huh.
I don't like it.
That was my first FPS.
Yeah.
I've never been hugely into FPSs, only played a couple throughout the years, but Quake was my first one.
I don't know, I just didn't. Did you play a lot of it multiplayer, or?
No.
See, that was, I think, the biggest thing for Quake was the multiplayer. Because, I don't know, the single player didn't grab me at all. Even Quake 2 single player didn't grab me. Quake 3 is a different kind of game. There's no single player, really, you know. But I think the multiplayer on that end is great. But I have really high hopes for Doom, if only for the memories of playing Doom 1 and Doom 2 and loving it. And from everything I've seen with the new lighting effects, you know, and they've shown, like, creatures jumping out of the wall again. Like, you know, the wall would lower in Doom, but now they bust out of the wall in Doom 3. And, if I remember right, it wasn't like they were, like, just coming through the wall. They were like busting through the wall and coming up through the floors and stuff at you. That's the kind of thing I think that makes a really good game like that, because you've got, it's so realistic that it, you know, it seems believable enough that it puts you in the game.
Right.
It's terrifying to see something coming at you.
I wonder if that engine has the same environment affecting thing you can do in Red Faction.
Oh, like the throw a grenade.
You throw a grenade and the side of the wall blows up.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about
it. I love that.
See,
I thought that was really a good addition to that game.
It seems like it was a good idea, and it's definitely something, to me, it seemed like it was something that, it's like natural progression for these kind of games. We should have this, but I don't know. When I played Red Faction, I got pretty damn bored of it.
Really?
Really quick. I wasn't into the whole blow up the walls crap, because it just seemed like it was a waste of ammo. It just seemed like, why? When I can walk through the door, why am I going to blow a hole around the door, you know? What's the point of this crap? It just seemed like, sure, it was cool to fire a rocket, some guy miss, blow a hole in the wall. Oh, crap.
It just adds to the experience of it.
It does, which is why I think it'd be great if it was in there, and it's definitely something we need, but definitely not the primary focus. Like,
no.
To be in Red Faction. Well, yeah, obviously that's not what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to think that, you know, we should put too much focus on this when...
No,
I don't think it's a game breaker.
But it adds to the realism of the world you're in. It adds to, you throw a rocket and the side
of
the wall.
It's going to blow something up, yeah.
Instead of sitting there throwing rockets at a wall and
just
scratch it.
Yeah, or you get a nice little graphic overlay that's, you know, a burn mark.
Yeah.
You know,
it goes away in 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Or when three more appear somewhere here.
That needs to go. Something needs to change about that, I know. That's horrible. I'll tell you right now, no doubt, I'm running it. Doom is just one of those games I'm going to run out and buy right away.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of stuff that I've waited for so long, you know, and I want it to be successful. So I'm guilty of the, you know, kind of fanboying it around, you know, going, it's got to be good. You know, it probably will suck. It probably will. Doom and Doom 2, I think, were just fantastic because at the time, there was nothing else like it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other multiplayer thing where you could blow your friends away in the same world like that with that view, and that was just amazing. And then we came to Quake, and I think, you know, because it was real 3D, you know, that was like the huge step for it, but it didn't impress me. It didn't impress me, it didn't scare me, it didn't have anything, you know, but, and I think that's why this whole Doom, love for Doom 3 is lost in nostalgia for me.
But the monsters blew up, man.
Yeah.
They were chunks.
But the graphics were so poor, though.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, they were so bad. Now, one can argue the graphics on Doom were pretty bad, too, but at least they didn't try to be more than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly enough, you know, Quake is still alive and well. I mean, I play it every friggin' day. He's probably playing it right now online. I mean, it's still just...
Quake
1. Yeah, what did he use? It's something called Quake World or something. It's probably not Quake World, because he yelled at me last time I said that. He said it's not Quake World, it's something else. Maybe it is Quake World. Whatever the hell it is. It's something, but it's not like generic Quake World. It's something else. But
why would you play Quake?
Well, his computer isn't top of the notch, you know?
Well, still, even if it's friggin'...
He doesn't have a top-notch machine at all. And
a Pentium 200, there's things that run better than
Yeah,
that.
What he's got runs Doom, or I mean, Quake 3, but he said it's quite slow and laggy in parts.
You can't do that.
You know, not in a first-person shooter, because he tries to play, and he doesn't get, like, a fat frame rate, and it slows down quite a bit when a lot of the shit's blowing up. I think he's only got a GeForce 3.
I mean, Counter-Strike should work okay. If he can run Quake 3, I think...
Another thing to consider, he doesn't believe in Windows. So he's running all this on Linux, so you don't have Counter-Strike. I mean, there is a way to make it work, but it's like, to him it's not worth it.
Right.
He likes blowing. He's all about the deathmatch. He doesn't even really care for Capture the Flag or anything. So, I don't know. And Doom 3, that's another thing, though. Doom 3 is not going to even be, like, huge multiplayer-based. It's all single-player. It's like they're going to have a multiplayer, but it's like an afterthought. They just kind of tacked on some deathmatch just because.
They didn't realize that all these games are coming out that the first person is the afterthought.
Yeah,
like selling like hotcakes.
They didn't do that, which I think is cool, though, because I'm really all for something like...
Still there?
Yeah, we're just talking about Doom 3 still.
Okay, great.
Because, you know, one of the things that they're going to... You know, one of the major focus on Doom 3 is the single player.
Yeah.
Not the multiplayer. The multiplayer was an afterthought. And we were just saying that, you know, Doom 3 is that going to break it? Is that going to break Doom 3 from the sales charts because they don't have a strong multiplayer, you know, part to this game?
It Basically, it's like playing Resident Evil 4. It's just kind of a nightmarish...
Well, yeah, we all know what Doom is. It's nice and scary. I'm still looking forward to it, and I'm going to rush out and buy it because, you know, I need some nice, good single-player FPS loving. It's been a long time since I've had to run around and blow a bunch of shit up for my own benefit. Since
well, that's the thing, is you're not blowing a bunch of shit up. You're blowing, like, every little guy is hard to kill, so you're kind of, like, running around, shooting one guy a million times, shoot the next guy a million
oh,
times.
Oh, come on. You remember Doom 1, where you walk into a room full of those zombie dudes and just mow them down. You know they're going to have that. I hope so too, man. It's like watching heads roll. Now, but you saw? Did you see it on the PC?
It was on the Xbox.
You only saw it on the Xbox.
Yeah.
It takes the Xbox, and it does not look anything compared to the PC.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't look so hot compared to the PC version. I think. So what you're saying, you know, I mean, I just wanted to make it clear that you only saw the Xbox version.
That's correct. Yeah.
So. I don't know. I've seen screenshots of it on the PC, and I think it looks fantastic.
Of course, they were probably pre-rendered, not in-game.
I don't think they were. I think they were all in-game. Because what I saw was, like, they would show, like, the wireframe model, and then they would add the textures over it and let it roll. So it was all being rendered right there, and I've seen other movies, too. I mean, I've seen a lot of movies for it, just because I want to check it out so bad.
But you know that was a machine that was... Absolutely.
Decked out. Yeah, you know that they were running on some nice hardware there. So I don't know how it's going to run on my box, but I will find a way to make it run. Time to bust out the water cooling kit and overclock like nobody's business.
Freon!
That's right. I will be able to play that game for minimal cost. Hopefully, now what I don't understand though is if it really does bend your system over and just kick its ass and run like crap, why? Why can't they make it like in real terms of 2004, where it runs on like a 486 just fine? You know, that game, it runs perfect on every
My laptop kicks its ass.
It runs fine on your laptop and still looks great. I mean, how is that?
My friend's computer is lower than all their minimum requirements, and I didn't see a frame drop.
Damn.
He's running a 900 megahertz. The minimum requirement is a gig, and it's running.
Still runs great. Were they pimping Unreal Tournament 2004?
I did not see it there, no. I mean, it might be there somewhere, but...
Yeah, it probably was. You probably just kind of glanced over it because it was already out and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you played that?
No, I've heard great things about it.
Oh, God, dude, seriously, whatever you're playing right now can't hold a candle to that. Seriously, the demo's like 220 megs. Go grab it. They've got the assault... The demo, it's online. You can play online. They've only got like one map for each thing. There's plenty of servers, and every time I check, there's plenty of players... My ping is rock bottom. I have never seen it so much as a hiccup on my machine, and I'm trying to make it run like shit by jacking up the resolution and the detail and everything. Dude, it's flawless. I mean, it is. It's. Remember how much fun we used to have playing Unreal Tournament over at your place, and it was just like, cause it ran like a dream, and it was just like that high-speed adrenaline rush the whole time?
Yeah.
It's just like that again with like 10 times the fun.
Finally, 2003 was such a disappointment.
2003 was a piece of crap, but we all bought it because we wanted to play Frag Ops so bad. And that made it worth it alone. But I tell you what, Unreal Tournament 2004 kicked so much ass, I've actually removed 2003 and never plan on looking at it again, ever.
Oh, it's bad.
It is. It's pretty bad. It doesn't run very good, but I'm telling you right now, dude, at the very least, go out and buy the damn game. Hell, it's only $40 and you can get it on DVD. Go support the DVD release of it. Or, you know, at the very least, go out and go get the demo. It's like 200, just over 200 megs. They've got one map for, I think, every style of play there is. You know, Capture the Flag, Deathmatch, Team Deathmatch, Onslaught, Assault.
Mutant.
Yeah, you know, that's the one I haven't tried out yet. I don't know if it's in the demo or not. I didn't see it. I haven't played it yet, so I don't know. I didn't actively go out and look for it, though. But tell you what, dude, it's fantastic.
Great.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you excited, but, like, you don't sound like you care.
I'll have to check it out. It sounds interesting.
You absolutely have to. I mean, this is it, right? This is a 10 out of 10. This is perfect, dude. I know you like playing first-person shooters, so...
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I'll have to check it out.
For the most part, I don't even like first-person shooters, and I went out and bought this game, and I love the hell out of it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Vehicles... Kick-ass weapons, beautiful graphics, awesome sound. I mean, it's just... And it runs like a freaking dream, which blows my mind, because I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it after seeing 2003, how it ran like crap. I didn't believe it. But I'll be damned if I don't have to eat my words, because it's perfect. Now, anything else, though, about E3 that comes to mind?
Not that necessarily comes to mind right now. There was a lot there, and it actually took a while for my brain to process it. And people brought up, oh yeah, this. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that was great. And I totally forgot to mention that, you know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was
great. I really had a good time.
Cool. Well, I think the next show next week, what we're gonna do is I think we're going to, because there's like the ye almighty list of games shown at E3, and as of right now, it looks like we might grab the list and go over and try to pull out, you know, what we think are going to be the top games, you know, off the E3 list. So you're more than welcome, you know, to sit in on that and be part of that show if you'd like.
Okay.
I definitely love, and you know what, you come across the phone great. For some reason, it's really hard to hear Hooks, and you sound just fine. I don't know if you're using a different phone than the crap one you had before, but this one sounds great.
It is a different phone.
Oh, okay.
Well, Landline.
Hey, what is it?
Landline.
Oh, okay. Do you know who makes it?
Radio Shack.
Really?
Yeah.
After the horrible experience I had with the last Radio Shack telephone that I bought, does it have speakerphone?
Yeah.
Wow, I wonder, we're going to have to test that one day. I'm just curious to how well it works, but whatever. But yeah, we're going to try to grab a list, I think, of all the games and maybe go through them and you know, list off some of the ones that you didn't see, because basically what you saw were like the top of the top, you know? Most of the stuff that you saw seemed like we knew they were going to be the big ones, you know? But I know there was a lot of games there that you didn't get to see, or, you know, there was just too much else going on that you couldn't, you know, spend a whole lot of time with some other stuff. So what I'm going to try to do this week is, you know, look over the list of the games. It was a huge list, too, and see if I can't pull out some of the other, you know, great ones, and maybe you did see them and just forgot.
Okay.
You know, that's possible. Whatever. Who knows what's going to happen. You know, we do have some other stuff lined up for some future shows already. But at least right now, we were just talking about it. That seemed like a good idea to do for the next show, and I know it'll make a couple people happy. I think Rainbow even said, you got a new E3 for the next couple shows. So, which is, you know, it makes good sense, because that's the big thing, you know. That's what's going on in the game world, and that's what we're supposed to be all about, is what's going on in the gaming world right now.
Prom night of the game world.
Yeah, exactly. So, and another thing was, holy crap, I just forgot everything. What the hell was I going to say? Damn. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come. Oh, yeah, whatever. Damn, I can't believe I just, wow. I forgot everything I was going to say that quick. And it seemed pretty important, too. Oh, shit, yeah, doggy. Okay, did you see the G-Force there?
Yeah, the new G-Force was there, and it was in charge, man.
Was it? It was kicking ass, huh? This is the G-Force 6800, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and what can you tell us about that?
It looked beautiful. I mean, we talked to the NVIDIA people. They had a party going on that night, so we were trying to get in on the party, and they wouldn't let us in on it. But they did talk to us a little bit about the hardware. They said, I think the price is going to start at $300, what I heard.
That's not bad at all.
There is a higher-end model they're releasing as well, but it's supposedly twice as fast as the fastest Radeon. That's what they claim.
Of course, this is always what they claim, you know.
Yeah.
So this is a new chipset, right? This is above and beyond FX.
Yeah.
And they had a mermaid scene going on.
Yeah, that's the rendering model thing that they have for the remember how, didn't you guys see the demo?
The fairy.
Yeah, they had the fairy for the one, and they had the magician dude, Jafar, whatever they had. They had the chameleon. Remember that one, the chameleon?
Yeah, you can move your camera around, and you can change the thing a little bit just to prove that it's not pre-rendered.
Hey, I'm rooting for NVIDIA, man.
Yeah.
I really want to see them. This is just a personal thing. I want to see them stomp ATI. So it's good news for me to hear that this thing is kicking ass.
Oh, most of the games there were demonstrated on that new GeForce. They in the booth, they had all the games that were being demonstrated with it, and most of the games were there, all the good games.
Fact.
It just, yeah, all these big developers are like, you know, we really want to show off our product. We need it. We need the next generation video card. They went on. They just had a deal with NVIDIA.
Nice, but we do know, you know, ATI is cooking up something in the labs too that I'm sure, you know, they're going to claim is twice as fast as the fastest GeForce.
Oh yeah, and on the down low there is a DirectX 10, and some developers are working with it already.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice to know. That's nice to hear, because, I mean, we kind of expected it, because it's been more than, like, 3 weeks, so it's time for a new DirectX release. But have you heard anything about any of them using that for any current games already?
No. But there's games that are in development that it's going to be used for, and there was one that the guy would not tell me what game he was working on.
Really?
Yeah, but he says he's using DirectX 10. He said it changes a lot.
What booth was that?
It was just the guy floating around that I was talking to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Some random jackass.
Yeah, he could have been full of shit, but I really don't think so.
Oh, no, I don't think so at all either. You know that's out there. You know Microsoft's working on it. They're getting geared up for the Xbox 2.
Yeah, but there was no mention of the Xbox 2.
Nothing at all, huh?
Nothing at all.
Did they show PSX there?
They probably did. I missed it.
Yeah,
big thing, we could kind of go on the Microsoft booth. They had actually a really impressive booth. They had a ramp go up and went around this corner, and then you had basically like an upper level and a lower level.
Oh.
And the upper level had these couches you could sit on, these giant TVs and play games. So in the lower level, they had just booths of games. The couches were only for media people. The lower area was for everyone else to sit there and just squeeze in and try to play a game.
Say it with me. That's just for us next year.
But one thing they had a lot of people trying to play was Fable.
Oh, yeah. Project Ego.
And they had, they basically had like a whole ring of computers and every, not of Xboxes, and every Xbox.
Yeah,
had,
computer, Xbox, whatever.
Yeah, same thing. Had a different, like, stage of Fable. Because you know you start Fable, you're a kid, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as you grow, you can become anything. You become some big burly tanned guy or some evil dude or some good guy. And everything about you changes and morphs dynamically as you play the game.
Exactly. That's the whole appeal for this game.
And they just had, like, had different scenes. A scene of you as, like, some evil magic dude. Another one is you're some little kid. Another some good big brawny guy, you know. So they basically just had a bunch of people in different stages so you could see them all in different stages and sit there and play them.
Did it look fun?
It looked interesting. Looked interesting. I tried playing a little bit. It looked cool. It's the kind of game that you can't just play for 5 minutes and enjoy, though.
Yeah.
You really have to get into your character and really get into the game, the story.
That's one of the bigger releases for the Xbox I've been waiting for. That, and I don't know why I'm so interested in it. It just looks cool. True Fantasy Live Online. Did you see that there?
No, I didn't notice it.
Damn, I was really hoping there was a whole lot there. I'll have to poke around some more. One more. Did you see anything at Sony's booth other than the PSP? Like Gran Turismo 4 or some shit, or whatever the hell that's called.
There was some other stuff. There were a bunch of sports games. I was kind of blown past it because you know how Sony really pushes the sports games. One game that looks good is Midway. It has the new PsyOps that looks really good.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I've heard a lot about that, but nothing that made me want to play, though. It just didn't look like the type of game that I'd want to play. But
it's like a Metal Gear Solid with a lot more. Extra stuff.
A lot more, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe we'll have to talk about that one next time, see if we can't find any information. Did you see anything about Ghost?
Yeah, I actually played Ghost for a little while.
No shit?
Yeah.
Oh, on what? On what?
On the Xbox and the PlayStation 2.
And what'd you have?
PlayStation 2 sucked. Like, I mean, it's the same game, basically. It's the exact same game, but it runs like ass on the PlayStation 2. It runs great on the Xbox. It runs great on the GameCube.
Really?
Yeah, they had it demonstrated on all three platforms. You could sit there and play it, and it looked fun. I mean,
dude, it looks like a blast. We saw a video of it here, like on the 11th or 12th. Maybe it was the day that you just went there. Kovar and I were watching video of it. We saw like four videos. Dude, it looks badass.
Oh, it looks like it's going to be a great game to play, a great game to enjoy. It's the kind of game you buy and you just have a great time with it.
Yeah, that looks cool. That's another one. There's a lot of good stuff coming up. Last year, I don't know if you remember or not, during E3, we didn't do an E3 show last year.
No?
It was great. We had an even better show. We did the old school special. The old school gaming special. And that was cool because it was like all these new games were coming out and they were all crap. You know, so it's like we did the old school special. And it was a blast. And it's like I've been thinking about it for the last couple of days. It's been a year since, you know, that show anyway. And that was episode 12. I thought, damn, you know, we need to go back and we need to do that again. Talk about some old games, you know, because those are cool. But
we were talking about that last night.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, this year's E3 doesn't suck. Like, last year's E3, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot that was so great, you know? It didn't seem like there was anything that blew anybody's mind. It was very, just kind of, like, blew under everybody's radar and stuff. But I was really glad to see so much cool stuff this year come out of it. One more thing that I particularly wanted to mention that I don't know if you saw or not, so we might have to cover it next show after we get a little more details, although I didn't see shit for details as it was. I'm just hoping something else comes out. You know Alienware?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They are they're going to start manufacturing their own motherboards now. Now, did you see anything about that there?
No.
Okay. I've got a screen. Go to the forums, and if you look at the forums under hardware, I've got a picture that somebody took. I don't even know where the hell I got it. Probably IGN. A picture somebody took of the inside of a computer running on Alienware's new motherboard, which, now do you remember, which I think we both liked, the SLI?
Yeah.
Right, from 3DFX? It's like that using, you know, whoever the fuck's video card. They're designing a motherboard with the new PCI Express slots, and you can use two of those for whatever the hell video cards you want, and then there's like a third card that they plug into, and it's just like it sounds just like the SLI, where it was just that one card renders half, and the other card renders half, and it pipes into the screen at the same time. So that you're just like doubling your speed. And Alienware was saying that they are already seeing a 50% boost already. Like not optimized or nothing. Beta hardware, beta drivers already seeing a 50% boost in these games.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's obviously...
claim, yeah.
Obviously a claim, first of all. And second of all, talk about like the enthusiast market. This is not something my sister's going to have. This is not something your mother is going to be interested in. This is something that everybody in this room and you on the phone is at least going to look at and you know, consider it and weigh it against your wallet. Yeah, because you're not going to be able to afford this shit. But it's something I would definitely have to check out because I always thought it was a good idea. Because how does it not work? Throw more hardware at it and it'll fix the problem, right? It runs slow, you add two, right? Also, they were dual processor motherboards.
Oh, gee.
Right? How fat is that, okay? And they came in AMD and Intel flavors. And this is using, though, the PCI Express.
Ow.
You didn't see that there?
PCs for gamers. It was probably good. There was a lot of stuff there. One thing I didn't even check out at all was the cell phone gaming market.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there were like, there must have been four or five booths just for that.
Was Romero all over it?
He might have been there. Lord British was there, and he was more interesting than Romero, so.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh, what would you pick, Romero or Lord British?
I don't particularly care for either one of them, but at least Romero has some interesting stories, I bet. Lord British is kind of a kook.
At least Romero's met Carmack.
Kick ass by association, right?
Yep.
Hey,
you know Carmack!
Hey, you know what, though? I have ate at the round table pizza that Romero used to go play, like, Space Invaders and shit at.
And then Romero knows Carmack, so that makes you awesome.
I am a god now. This is my claim to fame, and this is what makes me. I have ate at the pizza place that Romero used to play games at, who knows John Carmack. I am therefore a god. And the sad part is, to the listeners, they think we're fucking around.
We're not serious.
They don't understand that this is like actual normal conversation for us. He is our Lord, JC. John Carmack. Did you see anybody cool other than Miyamoto, I guess, was the cool one you saw?
Well, Lord British was there. I didn't get to meet him or anything, but I got to see him.
I said cool.
Who else was there? There were a lot of developers there.
That's cool, though. See, I think that's really cool to me, too. Is like, some of the guys, like, the real insider guys that know what's going on. If you were stuck with surrounded by PR people, that would blow.
Yeah, like, all the booth bands were all PR people, you know?
See, that's,
but it's funny, though. They actually train them a little bit. Like, you can walk up to the booth there and start asking her questions. She'll talk to you about the game.
That's different, though. Because this isn't some, like, you know, 400-pound dude with a beard, bald, you know, wearing a fucking Atari t-shirt.
Throwing smoke up your ass.
Yeah, this is like hot shit here. This is like, you'd almost think they were in the damn game based on some of the models that we see in the games these days, you know. So that's all right, you know. I mean, hell, you took pictures of them. That's all right.
Yeah.
I just, oh man. Have you gone around, though, to some of the big sites and seen some of the shots that they had of some of the booth babes and stuff yet?
No, I haven't.
I haven't made my rounds yet either, but I plan on it.
Did I get the weak shots or what?
No, you had some really good shots, but you know that they had like 200 to 300 shots versus your 20 that we got, which are still fucking awesome, dude. I love them. I'm so thankful that you gave those to us. But I'm just saying that I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that you missed too, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and I know that every year this is always, I don't know why, a big thing for us to go poking around, so I'm sure we'll find it.
Yeah. That's going to be the best part, though, really. You know, you're going to get to play the games anyway, but you're not going to get to play the booth games.
Unfortunately. I know last year, though, like, that was the number one thing was the chicks. Last year, it seemed like the games were just like, yeah, whatever. But this year, there was actually some really big things. And I was so excited. I mean, oh, hey, you know, if you could say who won the show, who would you say won?
Wow. That's hard.
Yes, I mean, if you could say, who would you say?
Oh, God. Can I tie it with a couple of people?
Go right ahead.
I would say Guild Wars was huge. Nintendo, big time, yeah. Nintendo had a huge, like, their people were all over the place.
Yeah.
Sony had a reasonable audience, but not as big as they should have had, because they really had the biggest player, and they should have had a bigger audience. They didn't have as big an audience as they should have.
Yeah.
They weren't demonstrating a lot of the stuff they had. You know, like, the PlayStation Portable, you could just walk up and play it.
Well, while you're thinking about it, based on everything that I heard, you know, based on like not, you know, obviously not going and only reading, you know, so much on some websites and whatnot, and everything that I heard, there was no question in my mind that Nintendo stole the show.
Oh, Nintendo was definitely top dog, I would say that.
Really? Okay. See,
yeah, they, Nintendo was huge. They had the cutest booth babes, and they had, they weren't the best, you know, they didn't have the hottest outfits, but as far as beauty factor goes,
yeah.
Gorgeousness, the booth days, like, there was one woman, I don't know what to even describe her, she was an angel, and I had to stand there next to the booth and just look at her for a while.
Rock on, Nintendo.
She was sitting there zoning out, Resident Evil 4, it was like halfway through the day, so she was kind of getting bored, and she was just sitting there staring off at Resident Evil 4, and I was just sitting there staring at her.
Damn.
For like 10 minutes.
Nice.
No, that was awesome. But, Nintendo really did a good job.
I'm glad to hear that, though. You know, like, as far, like, I'm just glad to hear that Nintendo has got somewhere again. You know, it just seemed like for a while they were doing so bad. It seemed like they just kept getting stepped on and stuff, and to be holding on to a secret, like a Zelda that doesn't suck for so long, and to not tell us, and then, you know, we're going to have to wait till E3 and to not let it leak out? Holy shit.
Well, I don't think that Wind Waker 2 is actually coming. I think that was a bone they threw to
Probably.
Throw us off the scent.
Probably, and everybody expected it. Everybody ate it up right away. You know, hey, I expected it. I'm guilty. I figured the next one was going to be Wind Waker 2 because that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Instead, they laid the fat bomb down on us where it's just like, oh yeah, by the way, it doesn't suck. Yes! That fueled my energy all week long, let me tell you, and it's going to have to carry on for like a year and a half until we play this freaking game, but that's okay, because there's plenty of good stuff coming up in the year, and thank you, Ode, for filling us in on everything, though. That's awesome. I'm so glad that you went, because this made an awesome show.
Great, glad to help.
Anytime that you need to be on, dude, you got something to say, you got a game that you want to talk about, dude, just let me know, just call. I know our schedules are all screwed up and hard to get a hold of each other by the time, but, you know, we've made it work before. We can make it work again. You know.
Yeah, I might come on to pitch the game I'm developing somewhere sooner or later. But
I know,
but
you know what
the heck does.
I've been kind of like trying to keep that quiet.
Oh.
You've heard. We've kind of mentioned it every now and again, but don't say anything about it. And especially this week because Friday was like the day. Remember?
Yeah.
Have you seen Troy?
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yep, I saw the movie.
What'd you think of it?
It was fun. I mean, a lot of people really gave it a hard time because it didn't follow the Iliad.
Uh-huh.
Like, they took out mythology almost entirely.
Really?
Yeah, so it turns into more like a very hard epic warrior combat kind of thing.
That is not what I wanted to hear at all.
Yeah, mythology was gone, and the romance scenes were drawn out, but the fighting scenes were awesome.
Dude, were they better than The Last Samurai?
Much better.
That's the only gripe I had about The Last Samurai. It was just another freaking Braveheart.
I thought the fighting scenes in that were pretty badass.
Well, they were, but I'm just saying, it's just another...
Yeah, but it was like, at least it was a different whole time and place and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was the same thing, yeah, you know, but...
I
thought it was pretty interesting, yeah. Yeah, but see, that one I didn't care for, too. It was a good movie, though, but... Huh, was it hella long?
It was 2.5 hours, maybe. It was good. It's worth. I'd say it's worth watching. It's not Gladiator.
That was the next damn question out of my mouth.
Don't go to the theater expecting Gladiator.
Crap. Well, you know, I was going to go to the theater and see this, but I'm not now.
Yeah, wait for video.
Yeah, it definitely sounds
wait
like
for a hookup, you know?
Yeah, yeah, this one's a Netflixer.
Yeah.
Definitely. Damn, that's too bad. Damn, that really sucks, man. I'm waiting for, like, Gladiator 2, you know? I'm waiting for something of that caliber. Damn it.
But it was entertaining. I was at the edge of my seat the whole time. It was.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a bad movie.
Yeah, it wasn't painful to watch it.
It wasn't painful. Let me tell you about pain. This is why I do not go to the theater right here. Flip was in town and Wolf was down here. We decided to go to the theater to blow some time. We went, stood out front, and looked at everything that was showing. Now, keep in mind, this was like noon, okay? Last week. In fact, it was Wednesday. And we got to the theater. We're looking at all the movies coming out. Nothing even remotely interesting was out except for Punisher, which didn't show until 9 p.m. that night. We had time to blow now. So at 12:10, a movie called Envy was playing. Has anybody heard of this?
Vaporize?
Yeah, I've heard of that. That's the movie where...
The fat guy and the skinny guy work at 3M. What are their names?
Jack Black and...
The guy who plays Fokker in Meet the Parents.
Yeah, Ben Stiller.
Okay. The fat guy and the skinny guy work at 3M, and they, like, design sandpaper or some crap, right? Anyway, they're neighbors, okay? And the whole thing of this movie is that well, he's not exactly fat, I shouldn't say that. The larger gentleman,
Jack Black.
Okay? I'm so bad with names of actors, I don't care. The only one that matters is Edward Norton.
Hell yeah.
Uh-oh, I think we just lost Ode.
Oh, I'm still on.
What was that?
I have no idea.
Hold on, I wonder if that's another call for... Oh, fuck him anyway. They can't possibly have anything interesting to say. Yeah, damn it, hold on. Hello?
Yo.
Hey, what's up, Hunter? Hey, we're actually recording.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What's going on?
Not much, I was going to try to catch you today, but...
Well, what ended up happening is we got Ode on the phone talking about E3, because he went.
Yeah, fuck him.
So, I mean, we're just about done, too. We're down to talking about movies and whatnot. He's actually still on the phone. I know I wanted to get you in here, but there'd be no way that this would work out too well.
Oh, no problem.
So, well, I mean, dude, come on over if you want. We're just sitting here now. We're going to be done in a minute. Probably got to eat pretty soon.
All right. Give me about an hour. It'll be over.
Okay.
All right, man.
All right, dude.
Hey.
Late. Hey. That was cool. That was Hunter.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was afraid it might be some kind of salesman or something. He's on his way over. He's kind of bent, though, because he was supposed to record with us today, and I remembered, but I was like, well, it ain't going to work with you on the phone, too. And three of us trying to talk, and he's...
Two of us are bad enough.
Dude, yeah, you guys are... Well, you're... Actually, you know, you sound perfect, but he is so quiet. You're like, perfect now with that there, but I've had him, like, deep-throating that mic, and you still can't hear him. I mean, he was... it just doesn't work. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, this Envy movie. Okay, so you got, like, They work at the same place, and Ben Stiller is like this, he's like higher up. He's like the manager, mm-hmm. right? Like the, not high, high up. He's like one step above Jack Black.
Right.
He can basically put Jack Black's character in business at the same level. Like, they could be equals, right, basically, if he would just work a little bit harder, okay? So, and they're neighbors. They're like best friends. They live next door, and like, they do everything together. They're both married. They both have kids. This is your average, you know, life for a lot of people, right? And what happens is Jack Black's character, he's always coming up with crazy ideas, trying to come up with, like, the next thing to make him, you know, like, his good idea, right? So he comes up with this crap that makes dog shit disappear. This is the focus of this movie.
Vaporize,
right? What you do is your dog takes a dump and you spray it down and the crap disappears, okay? And it turns out being huge. So then he makes millions, okay? He buys, like, a mansion, but because he doesn't want to move out of the area and he wants to live by his friends, who didn't want... Okay, his buddy, Ben Stiller, didn't want anything to do with the idea. He didn't want to invest in it and become partners. He thought it sounded like a dumb idea. So that was, like, the whole thing. So he's very envious of Jack Black's character now because he's got millions of dollars. He built this freaking mansion on this little tiny block in this little crappy neighborhood, right? He built this giant freaking mansion. He's got, like, he's got a horse. He's got, like go-karts, a whole track. He's got, like, a merry-go-round. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much money he spends. He drives a Ferrari, and he's got a limo to drive him around, too. I mean, it's just insane. And it's funny, because, like, you see, like, Ben Stiller's characters, you know, family's house, and it's, like, in the shadow of the mansion all the time. It just, it's, and you know who, oh, you know what was cool in that movie was, it was the hot chick from The Mummy, is Ben Stiller's wife. The English chick in that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like the one positive thing I can say about this movie. Okay, this movie was, it was dog shit. I wish I could make this movie disappear. This movie was horrible. The whole thing is basically something bad. I don't want to blow, you know, the very thin, crappy plot here. But basically, in order to kind of get back at Jack Black, something bad accidentally happens that Ben Stiller does, and the whole movie is basically him worried that if Jack Black finds out, he's going to hate him. That's it. That's the whole freaking thing. And of course, I'll blow it for you because it sucks ass anyway, and you saw it coming. When he does find out what he did, of course, it's no big deal, and oh, I'm just so happy you told me, can't we all just get along? And then, you know, they threw in some crap about where does the shit go? That was, like, you know, one of the other big things about the movies. Where does the crap go when it disappears? So they kind of explained that a little bit, which was just so retarded to begin anyway. And they basically end up losing their fortune. Okay, they become best friends again, and all is good and well. They're partners. They lose their fortune. In the last five minutes of the movie, they lose their fortune. All that money, right? That they make up. They're all good friends. Everything is cleared up and okay. So we're back to square one, right? But they're millionaires. They lose their fortune. They have nothing. They come up with a retarded-ass other idea, and they're billionaires again. I mean, this movie was crap, dude. I went to go to, IMDb, the Internet Movie Database thing,
right.
And I was going to go rate it down, and it's, like, at 3.8 already. And, like, if you look at the chart, like, everybody voted for one, and, like, a handful of Jack Black fans and Ben Stiller fans voted for 10. So that we're up to a 3.8. I mean, this movie is utter crap. It was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Hellboy was good, though.
Hellboy was good?
Hellboy was really good.
Really?
I did not expect it. All the previews, I thought it was going to be some cheesy movie.
That's what it sounds like, or looks like.
And I really thought it would be, but then a friend of mine said, no, you really have to watch it. It's good. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I checked it out. It's good. It's definitely worth watching.
Huh. Okay. Is this still in the theater?
I don't know.
I don't think so, because I didn't think I saw it on the roster when I was there.
Punisher was enjoyable.
You know what? Yeah, I haven't been able to find a definite answer because I kept hearing, well, it's really, really good, and I'm hearing this from people like me, people who read the comics, people who are into this whole thing anyway. And then I hear, well, it could have been any old action flick, just remove the Punisher logo off the t-shirt. But I don't know how true that is. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it had more story than, I really liked the end of it. The end of it was beautiful. Have you seen it?
No, so don't blow it for the listeners. We try to not do that.
It's good.
Unless it sucks.
No. I'm going to tell everyone right now, go watch The Punisher. If I had to give it a rating, I'd say it was 8.5 out of 10.
What the hell?
Maybe an 8. 8.5 out of 10. It's that good.
Damn.
Hellboy was better, but barely.
Holy crap.
Hellboy would be like a 9 out of 10. It was good. I mean, these were both really good movies. I was impressed because Daredevil was sucked. Did you ever watch Daredevil?
Fuck yeah, I own it, man. I love Daredevil.
Okay.
This has been a big argument on the show, dude. We've had people write in to tell me how bad it sucks, and we've actually had, and Cushion stood up for me and said it's actually a good movie. See, I'm not the only one out there. I loved it. I didn't love it.
Let's go to the Oracle. 10 out of 10 is X-Men 2.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. No question.
No question. Okay, so going down from there, Hellboy is a 9, maybe, or maybe a 9, 8.5, something like that,
uh-huh.
And Punisher is just half a point lower than that.
Wow.
Yeah, Punisher was good. It was enjoyable. I liked the whole, it was good. There was nothing cheesy about it.
Cool. I've got to go see this now.
And Hellboy was great, too. Nothing cheesy about that either. It was well made.
What about
they explained everything, and it had this whole, you know, that whole debate. You know, most good comic books are based on a social debate of some kind or another.
Uh-huh.
Like, the X-Men 2 had the whole racial diversity
yeah.
and all that. This one had the whole nature versus nurture thing, because
oh, wow.
for people that don't know the story, Hellboy, it's a demon, and it gets sucked into the world. That's a baby demon, and they raise it to be become a hero. And so it's a devil. It's a freaking demon.
Yeah.
So he has all these bad tendencies, but
dude, when you said that, you know exactly who you sounded like.
I'm a demon.
I'm a fucking demon. Dude, you've seen Dogma, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember where are they at? They're in the
little bar.
The bar, and he's got I'm a fucking demon. Dude, that was beautiful. All right, sorry, go on.
Well, anyway, he's a fucking demon. But the whole premise of the show is like, you know, like most good shows have something to leave you thinking at the end.
Yeah.
The whole idea is that, like, okay, can you, you know, are people born bad or are people, you know,
become
good, that kind of stuff, and yeah, you have to make your decisions and that kind of thing. That was the whole premise. That's the whole premise of Hellboy in itself.
That's awesome. Alone in itself, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then then you have all these great action scenes they threw in. The guy did looked great. I mean, like the whole character, it was like the Hulk, where it looked really cheesy and all, like,
yeah.
And the CGI looked really crappy on it. It looked good the whole time. Like, if there wasn't anything that was computer generated, it didn't look it.
Wow.
And except for maybe the final scene, but even that looked good. You know, everything looked good. It had action scenes the whole way, and no, it was well done.
Cool. And the Punisher was almost the same as that, like graphic quality wise and whatnot.
Oh, Punisher was great. The thing about Punisher, there's nothing cheesy about it. It was graphic as all hell. But it was good. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you see a lot of those cheesy action movies where the guy's like, well, I won't shoot the guy because he's, you know, he's a bad guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the basic story of the Punisher. This guy, he's a cop, and he's actually an FBI agent. He's a Special Forces FBI agent, and his family gets killed by a mobster when the mobster's son dies because of, you know, during an operation. And so the mobster comes around and kills his entire family, not just his wife and kids. He kills his parents, kills his uncles, his nephews, his nieces, his cousins, everybody.
Yeah.
And tries to kill him too, but he makes it through.
Yeah.
And so then he goes on this mission of revenge. The Punisher is that was another thing. It was like, because the whole time he keeps trying to justify, he's like, this isn't revenge. And he does a bunch of stuff for revenge. He's like, but it's not revenge. And he keeps like having this dialogue, and he's like, this isn't revenge. This is punishment. It's not revenge. And then he does a bunch of stuff for revenge, and so you like it gets another debate. Well, what's the difference between punishment and revenge?
Cool.
And it kind of puts you on that spin the whole time. But
yeah.
But man, just the way they ended that movie was so beautiful. I was happy.
This is one of the movies that I just have to go buy no matter what, though. You know, because like I'm big on supporting this kind of stuff, just so that we have more of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad to hear that it's going to be awesome. Because I actually the one I skipped out on. Was the Hulk. And it's only because I haven't seen it yet.
Wasn't that good.
I heard so much bad about it that, like, I almost can't bring myself to just sacrifice the $20 and go buy it. But I am a big believer in supporting it, though. But if it's horrible, you know, hey, fuck that. You know, at least they've caught on to, hey, some of these comic movies sell if they're good. That's what I'm aiming for. Like, I'm waiting for, oh, man, Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, they've got that. Oh, and Aliens vs. Predator.
Yeah.
Another one that looks pretty good, but hey, have you seen have you seen Van Helsing?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? I heard horrible stuff about it.
Well, okay, take the reviews with a grain of salt. Let me just say one thing, you know, I'm one of those people that I used to watch cheesy sci-fi movies just because I like the whole theme and storyline of it.
Yeah.
It's cheesy to the max, the whole movie. It the whole thing's cheesy, but it's got cool special effects, and it's entertaining. But when you go to the movie, don't expect to get some great, you know, some great masterpiece of Hollywood work. Expect to get, you know, maybe a 6 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10, maybe a little bit less. Maybe a 4 out of 10 movie.
Wow.
But with good action scenes and lots of action scenes all the way from beginning to end, like there's action scene after action scene after action scene. So it keeps you going. So it's enjoyable. You're not bored. But none of it's very imaginative. None of it's very great. There's a lot of cheesy scenes in it.
Yeah, okay. I just had to check. I just had to find out if you'd seen it and see what you thought about it, because I didn't hear too many great things about it, but I don't know. I'm sure that's something I'll go rent.
If you like vampires and werewolves and Frankenstein and all that stuff, you'll like it.
Yeah, see, I didn't care for that. That wasn't my cup of tea.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're clocked in at an hour and 37 minutes, 38 minutes, so it's about time to cut it.
Thank you very much, Ode.
Yeah, that was the bomb, dude. That was awesome.
Not a bomb.
That was incredible. I'm so glad that this came about, because I was so worried that I was going to call you today, and you're going to be like, oh, dude, I can't. I got to do this and that and the other thing, because you're always so damn busy. And tomorrow, they're calling me into work for a fucking three-hour meeting in the middle of a freaking day. Yeah, so tomorrow would have been a horrible day for me to try to record, you know?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people were really looking forward to hearing you talk about E3.
Well, glad to help.
I got email about it. I was told directly about it in Final Fantasy. So this is going to make a lot of people happy. I'm so glad that it's just been a long time since I've had you on, but, I mean, you know, you were moving around. You had a lot of stuff going on, too, so hopefully we can get you on more. And I know Hooks tries to get on more, too, but, again, he's got a worse schedule than all of us, so I don't know. I'd like to keep it rotating around, keep it a little fresh and interesting, but I think this is it. Any departing words?
I don't think so.
About it.
That's it? All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye. Good.